At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard as we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Up next, coming up over the next 3 hours, I should say, we have Nigel Seeley in 45 minutes. Pauly will recap the one of the best days ever in soccer. I'm not exaggerating yesterday.
Yep.
What happened and everything and how it unfolded. That's coming up in about 15. Nigel in 45. And three really good guests beyond Nigel today as well. Rocky Boyman, Mike Pritchard, and Tony Maserati. We will begin with a really big game tonight, Thursday Night Football. And basically every spot now is offering the Bills minus 3.5. And some spots out here in Las Vegas are even money. Other spots have minus 105 across the country, and 3.5 minus 110 at several books, and the total's at 43.5. So this number's really moved now.
Too low. Yes. Some guys play their best or play good games when they're sick, but with the flu going through the Buffalo locker room, and you don't have Von Miller, but not to mention the revenge factor, what happened in the playoffs is New England was embarrassed by Buffalo, but I think it's too much respect for Belichick and company here. They finally showed something on offense in the Thanksgiving game against Minnesota. But, you know, the Bills have had their number at least on the road going back and blown them out the last two meetings. So see if they can do it again. And a lot of concerns about Buffalo and Josh Allen. But if you win this game, you're right back in the mix for the one seed. You only have two road games left, one of them at Chicago. So it figures they get the Jets at home. They're big favorites. So if they win this game, and it's going to be tough, though, they figure to have a gaudy record and a good chance at least winning the division and getting the one or the two seed.
Their updated win total is 12.5. That means they can only lose one more game.
Yeah.
They're going to go 13-4?
Yeah, well, that's Cincinnati. Okay, to answer that question, how concerned are you with Josh Allen?
I still am. I mean, yeah. I think you kind of have to be, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, I know that they were actually, here's the part where I'm kind of, I think we're getting back to look watching the old Josh Allen from before this injury in that Minnesota game, or before the Minnesota game. They called designed runs for him last week on Thanksgiving Day against Detroit. If you go back in the previous games after the injury, they did not call any designed runs for him. So that would indicate to me that Josh Allen is getting closer to being normal or his old self than what he was in that 2 or 3 week cycle where he looked off and you could just tell by watching him, he was not the same quarterback. So I think he's getting a little bit better. But he is taking on, you know, a pretty damn good. Can we call the Patriots defense elite?
Yes, I think so. And the corners that they have, and with the pass rush and Judon,
it wasn't great last week. But for the most part, this season, they've been very good.
That's true. True. Couldn't get stops. But since coming out of the bye, that's five below average games in a row for Buffalo. Now, you know, the Green Bay game on Sunday night, Allen didn't play well. They didn't play well. They couldn't put him away. Only won by 10. They go to New York and somehow lose. Allen kept turning the ball over. They should have won that game. The Minnesota game, they did what they wanted offensively. Again, Allen with the turnovers.
They blew it, yeah.
And then the ridiculous fumble at the one-yard line, or they win. Then you're up against the crazy set of circumstances with the blizzard, and you have to move the home game to Detroit. You have a big lead there, backdoor open. Cleveland, what the line was, but Cleveland scores late to put it on 8, but you scored 31 in that game. And again, Allen so-so in the win, but you scored 28 against Detroit. If he struggles here, then you got to be concerned. I mean, think about this.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he leads the league in interceptions now. He's tied with Mills. He's $1.55 to throw a pick tonight. So now we're starting to see, my God, we're in December. I want to see the Buffalo team that was, everyone thought is going to win the Super Bowl, or at least go to the Super Bowl, and they go to Baltimore and win. They go to Kansas City and win. They destroy teams early on. I mean, look, how about the Tennessee performance in week 2?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the game was over in the second quarter.
It sure was.
Right. So if the offense gets cooking, and I want to see more of Davis and attacking the defense and throwing to him deep, then you just say, okay, they're 9-3. They're going to go over the adjusted win total of 12.5. And they'll be fine. But I want to see more out of Josh Allen and not turn the ball over.
Next three games are all divisional spots.
Yep.
And, I mean, let's face it, that division is better than anybody thought it was going to be. Jets have been really, really good. I can't wait to watch what that game is going to look like December 15th at home against Miami. The revenge game, when they dominated the box score against Miami, that was all the way back in week 3, and they had like 100 plays, but they still lost the game 21-19. I can't wait to see Tua and that passing offense go to Buffalo if we have some, weather issues up there. Let's remind people of what took place last year, because this was wild between these two teams. If you recall, this is when we were traveling to Foxwoods, right? And we got there, we landed in New York, and it was on a Monday night. We went to John's for some pizza, and we're watching this game. This was December 6th last year in Buffalo. The Patriots won 14-10. Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times. That was it for 19 yards. They ran the ball 46 times for 222 yards, and they won the game. They sucked the life out of the entire 3 hours, and it was really, really windy that night. And they just said, screw it, here's the game plan, and the Bills couldn't get them off the field. That's how they won the game. And then everybody, when they met again, that was the first meeting. That was the crazy thing about the schedule last year.
Right.
They met 20 days later in New England, and you're like, well, how is this going to go? Well, the Bills got revenge. They won 33-21. They had 5.7 yards per play and 0 punts.
They were great. Allen was great.
Yeah.
He made all the plays down the stretch. Then, in the playoff game,
Got even better.
Got utter destruction.
It was one of the best games that we've ever seen from an offense.
Yes.
They scored 47 points, 8.9 yards per play in a playoff game, and again, 0 punts.
Yep.
So it's back-to-back games where they never gave the ball back to the Patriots. No turnovers, no punts.
Right. Now, is it still the same old New England offense, or did they find something last week? I don't know. That's a good question from Maserati coming up, too. Our friend in Boston, Tony.
That's the question. Yeah.
Right. I think it was more of Minnesota bad defense. But because certainly they couldn't do a damn thing against the Jets. Yes, it was windy, but it was Charlie checkdown with Mac Jones. I like Henry over tonight. I think he's going to be a big focal point of the offense, and it figures to be a huge Stevenson game as well. I'm with you with Allen rushing yards over, too. But Buffalo still minus 230 to win the division.
Yep.
The respect that they have. And I would take them at home against Miami, because if there are elements and conditions, it favors Buffalo in that one with the hot dog arm tour. So.
Yep.
That's an intriguing game coming up as well. I think they get revenge on the Jets. But finally, a good game on Thursday night. Not to mention, I mean, if the Patriots lose this one, you're not out of it, but you are really up against it.
Well, at that point, it's going to be
to make the playoffs.
The mountain that you have to climb after a loss tonight would be almost insurmountable. But again, their win total, you've been asking the question like all week long, can 9-8 get you a playoff spot? In the AFC, I'm going to say no. Their updated win total is 8.5. Over is plus 105.
Uh-huh.
So even if they go over that and you cash a little bit of that plus money, I don't think the Patriots get in at 9-8. I think it's going to be too much.
Yeah.
They have these difficult matchups coming up. So if they can pull this off tonight, and I want to say shock the world, but clearly, according to the market, it would not be a shocker. I mean, when this number opened up 5.5, it has dropped like a bullet all the way down to 3.5 like we talked about. I mean, people are betting this thing, and that's going to be sharp money moving the number as well. So I'm anticipating the Bills to, have a tough game tonight on their hands against the Patriots, and the Patriots be in this thing with the chance to win.
Yeah, and I can't look at the rest of the schedule and say, well, that's a win. I can't do that for New England. I mean, at Arizona, I mean, they lost to the Bears at home on Monday night. I mean, I know Fields was great in that game, but come on. You go to Arizona, you come out here and play Las Vegas, Cincinnati.
That's a tough slate of games.
Yeah, these are tough games coming up for the Patriots. So they lose this one and fall to .500. The other thing, if the Bills get beat, I mean, their division record, as you mentioned, you already lost to Miami. You already lost to the Jets. You do have a London loss to the Patriots here. And you're going to lose all these tiebreakers. So Miami, unless they collapse, Miami's going to win the division, it appears.
Yep.
So that, and then you, so important for them to not only get home field, get a one or a two seed, but to get the one seed, period, and to get Mahomes coming to your place. Now, they can
go
to Kansas City, not a problem. They've done it 2 years in a row
right. And
won the game. But for their sake and that rabid fan base, you want to see them have some many home games as possible in January.
I'm looking at two different markets right now on DraftKings, and it has to do with the Patriots. And some of these numbers that we see right now on the screen, again, the win total is 8.5. Division odds 25-1. They're not going to win the division. Beyond that, to win the conference or the championship game, astronomical numbers. But if you want to bet, if you think the Patriots are going to get it together, and that's tough sledding moving forward here, like we just said, there's a yes-no playoff prop up. The yes is plus 175. However, if you dig a little bit deeper, you can find teams to make the AFC wild card, and the Patriots are plus 225. There you go. It's 50 cents better if you want to bet the. I don't want to. I don't think they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But look around for stuff like that. Shop around. Make sure you're getting like the best market available and the best number possible. And take the Patriots to bet a wild card rather than just to make the playoffs. Because they're not going to win the division. That's not happening.
You know what's getting lost in this season with Hill and Jefferson is Diggs. You know, he's third in yards.
Oh, he's having a terrific year again.
He's only 100 yards behind Hill. So if this guy puts up back-to-back 150s, he might win this damn thing. And remember, Hill was on pace to break the record.
He was. And then Jefferson was pretty much on pace as well.
Right. But Diggs is third.
We'll give you a good breakdown on player props coming up in about 20 minutes. The numbers that Diggs has put up against this defense going back, I think it's the last three or four games, are just phenomenal. Guy's been awesome. But you're right, what you said earlier, I think this should be a Stevenson game because when Harris doesn't play, Stevenson really goes off. And running backs can do damage against this Bills defense. And I don't think, I'll explain why, but I don't think Singletary's doing much tonight against
really?
The Patriots.
All right, calling all soccer fans, lace up your cleats, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. What a day yesterday. Unbelievable. How about we talk about the 2-0 scenario with Mexico and Poland, and it comes in. It comes on to, comes down to fair play. Be nice, right? Like Roadhouse, always be nice. That was great. I couldn't believe it. And the sick beat you took. World Cup full swing, perfect time to check out Bet Rivers. Log in every single match day. Get a $10 bet when you place a wager of at least $25. Great props, huge menu, over 800 different ways to bet the World Cup matches. Fun yesterday, we do it again today. BetRivers.com. Download the app.
Well,
get in on the action.
How does today possibly match yesterday?
Can't. Good luck, guys.
You called it all. Before the show started, you said top 5 day you've ever watched soccer.
Yes. No question. No question. How about a 56-1 parlay to start the morning?
Yeah, that's right.
Shut it down.
Yep.
And then we didn't even have the Mexico-Poland scenario yet.
Now, we were running down the scenarios yesterday on the show. Just like this could happen, that could happen. Watch out if this is going to be the score. And almost everything we talked about came into play. My goodness, how the scenarios played out. Paulie rundowns all the details coming up next year. And follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Calling all soccer fans, lace up your cleats. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. World Cup in full swing now. Check out Bet Rivers. Log in every single match day. Get a free $10 bet when you place a wager of at least $25. All the latest odds, lines, and boosts to create their perfect match day experience. Head to BetRivers.com or download the app today to get in on the action. It's a whole new game, and Nigel does a great job with Bet Rivers as well and helping us out here on VSiN.
And here he is, the great Nigel Seeley, friend of the show, Dynamite on Soccer. A couple of great calls again throughout the week. Nigel, you've been doing this for a long, long time. Where does yesterday rank overall in terms of drama and what unfolded?
Yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, there was a scenario before where they went down to yellow cards, but it came down to the yellow cards, and I thought Mexico were going to get it. I thought they were going to get the third goal and get the win they should have done on the possession they had. And obviously Saudi Arabia hit them on the counter-attack that went, the Poland went through, but the Poland really need to thank their goalkeeper for getting them through. Oh. Saved a penalty against the greatest player of all time, Lionel Messi. Fantastic save. Three or four brilliant saves. Bad finishing from the Argentinians, but I think that... on reflection of the tournament, I think Poland are probably one of the weakest sides in the last 16. And I don't think they should be there. I think Mexico. And where was the Mexico we saw? You know, Mexico just shows you, you know, you can leave it too late. And you, that performance was so good. And it wasn't there in the first two matches because of fear. And I think the tournament would be a lot worse without the Mexican fans in it. Because in Qatar, yeah. I said to you yesterday, they were everywhere. They were a huge force around the city in Doha. And it wasn't. I don't think I saw one Polish fan. So it's going to be quite a quiet place without the Mexicans. But on the evidence of that display, I don't think Poland will be hanging around long. I think they'll be on the next flight back on Warsaw at the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. I read your analysis on one of the matches today, and I thought it was brilliant. Please share the breakdown that you have and what you think is going to happen between Croatia and Belgium.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting group today. I mean, each one of these sides can all qualify. You know, there's a lot to play for. Obviously, Canada can't, but there's three who can get through into the spaces in that group. And Belgium and Croatia were considered the front two in the group. It's a must-win match for Belgium. Croatia will be happy with a draw. And I think if you look at the odds on this match, I think it's purely done on history. And FIFA world rankings, Belgium are rated the second world ranked side currently. And on the performance, what we've seen in the last two matches, I don't think they're in the top 20. What I've heard about the Belgium, I was told by a journalist in the UK that there was some turmoil in the Belgian camp. And Kevin De Bruyne had said that he didn't want to be there. And he thought that the Belgium side had no chance of winning the World Cup. They were an aging team, and he thought that they would be found out. Well, in two matches, they were found out. And at the weekend, the interview went public in the newspapers, and Kevin De Bruyne did say that he thought that the Belgian side wasn't good enough, and he said that he felt they were an aging side. Well, it's caused massive pandemonium in the Belgian camp. None of the senior players are happy with their best player. And apparently there was the centre half for Tongan who used to play for Tottenham, and Kevin De Bruyne come to blows. That's the rumours that I'm hearing. So all is not well in the Belgian camp, and you can see that in their performances. They were very lucky against Canada. Canada was so unlucky not to get something from that game. They dominated the Belgian side. Mm-hmm. Belgium won it 1-0. In the second game, Morocco cope with them fairly easily and won it 2-0. And now we've got this showdown against the team that were third in the World Cup last time around in Belgium against the runners-up in Croatia. And Croatia, I thought, were absolutely brilliant against Canada. Canada started off so fast with an opening goal, played with a load of pace, but Croatia broke them down with sheer quality. And if you look at team spirit and team morale, you won't get a better set of players than Croatia. I mean, what they do for their nation and the support they have and their history, they're a very, very patriotic country. And I think if they're taken into the pitch against a Belgium side that are in turmoil behind the scenes, well, I'm amazed that Croatia are the outsiders for this game, the underdogs for this game. I think they should be favourites. I think the odds are being reflected on the fact of what we've seen in history. Belgium, Lukaku is their main goal scorer threat. He hasn't hardly played this season. He's got injury problems. He's being rushed back. And I think Croatia here, well, I honestly think they'll win the game. But the thing is, they don't necessarily have to win the game. They get a draw will be okay for them to qualify. So that goes into the psychology. So I think the best way to play this would be on the draw, no bet, which means that you will get the bet will be a push if the game ended in a draw. And you can get Croatia at plus money now. There's money coming all the time for Belgium over here. I'm sure it'll be coming to in American markets when you open up. But you can get evens for Croatia on the draw, no bet. I think if you come down and never watched a soccer game, never knew anything about the two sides, and watched the two performances from Croatia and the two performances from Belgium in this World Cup so far, and someone said to you, which one do you think should be favourite? I think out of 100 people, 99 of them would say Croatia, and the other one would be locked up in prison.
Excellent. There you go. So Canada's out. Morocco will win the group with a win and a Croatia tie or loss. What do you want to do with Morocco?
Well, I've bet Morocco to win the group, actually, at a very big price. And I think that there's a lot of usually when people play in World Cups, they turn around and say, oh, you know, they want to play, they want to win a game at the World Cup. I think that is the case towards the end of the tournament, because the players, you know, want to win because they've got nothing to play for. They can go on holiday with their family. This World Cup, I think once you're out, you want to be back home quickly because you've got a game within a week or 2 weeks. So I think teams that are going to be eliminated aren't really going to put a shift in the next game. And I feel that Canada, however well they performed, I think against a fired-up Morocco side who are yet to concede a goal in this tournament. And I think Canada will make changes. They're a young squad. They've got some very, very good offensive players, but defensively, they're pretty poor. The goalkeeper is very poor, in my opinion. I think he was at mistake for at least two of the Croatian goals. I think they make wholesale changes here. Give people some World Cup experience. Give young kids World Cup experience, because Canada and USA and Mexico are all going to host the World Cup in 4 years' time. So it's vital for those young players to play in the World Cup finals. So I would expect a lot of changes from Canada today, and I think the motivation is going to be gone for them. I would expect Morocco to win this, and I think if you can get... I mean, the line's gone really heavy here. We were plus 110 yesterday on Morocco in the UK, now down to minus 125, and the money's coming even more. So there's a big, big move for Morocco here, and I can see why. Morocco needs to win to top the group and avoid the tough match that they're likely to have. And I feel that they will win this game. And I do think that the fact it's a Winter World Cup makes a very difference in players' minds. When it's a Summer World Cup, let's have another go. Let's have another big game. Let's go out on a high because we can go and have a 2 month vacation. This game, once you're out, you want to be back because you're playing club football in 2 weeks' time. So you just want to go out, get home and get back to your club.
Mm. Very good.
Yep.
What do you think happens in this Germany match today as they get Costa Rica?
Well, I think the Costa Ricans have obviously shocked everyone with their win against Japan, and Japan shocked everybody with the win over Germany. This is a really interesting group because all four club teams are in with a chance of progressing.
Yeah.
Germany have to come to the party. I mean, they were very lucky against Spain to score a late goal. If they didn't score that goal, they had no chance of really qualifying. That gave them a lifeline. I mean, they're very, very low, minus 100, something like that. You know, the Germans, very, very, very short. Some bookmakers over here are offering crazy, crazy prices. You can bet Costa Rica at 33-1, I think, in the UK, which is, I just can't see any way they can win it. The one thing that Germany have to do is they have to go out and score by a few goals, because if the Japan game ends in a draw, there is a scenario that the Japan and Spain will go through ahead of Germany. So Germany have to score goals to beat into that goal differential. So they've got to win. They've got to win well. And I think if they do get an early goal, 1 or 2-0, I think Costa Rica will know that their World Cup is over, because they're not going to come back against the Germans. And I think that Germany could run right here. I think this could be a really, really heavy scoreline. I like Germany, but the line is very, very low. It's like a two-goal handicap. You've got to win by three goals. So that doesn't interest me. What does interest me is Germany to win to nil. I can't see Costa Rica scoring. They were got beat 7-0 by Spain.
Yeah.
Absolutely annihilated. Worst performance of the World Cup. And then they played the Japanese and win 1-0. Very fortunate to win that. But Germany, I think, will win by a decent score here. But the line is so high. Two and a half on the handicap in World Cup games. That's a lot to cover. You wouldn't be getting rich in the World Cup by betting 2.5 teams minus. So I think Germany to win to nil. I can't see Costa Rica scoring.
Is there value on the draw then with Spain-Japan? Plus three.
Well, there is, but it's only value in play because if Germany are 0-0 or Germany are winning 1-0, then that game could end in a draw. If Germany are 3-0 up, then that draw doesn't suit them because it comes down to goal differential.
Okay.
If the game is a draw, then I would be surprised if Japan will be one goal clear. They'll be on 4 points and have one goal better off than Germany. So if Germany are 1-1, then going winning by one goal, then it will come down to cards. So if Germany go 2-0 or 3-0 up, then the draw is no good for them. So really, the only time the draw is probably a play is if this game here is 0-0 or Germany are 1-0 up with, say, 20 minutes to go.
All right, mate. Excellent as always. Yes. Best of luck today.
Take care. All the best.
Yeah, we'll talk tomorrow. There you go. Nigel Seeley. He's on Twitter at Seeley _ Nigel.
What about the price on this? I mean, 36-1.
I know. Up next, some of the NFL awards markets are a little out of whack. How do we have heavy odds on favorites in so many categories with 6 weeks of football left?
The money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Get up to VSiN.com. What's new? Nigel Seeley, daily best bets on the World Cup. Thursday night football preview. Adam Burke and Josh Applebaum and Matt Eumanns. Championship Saturday. Top championship week best bets up at VSiN.com.
In the sports betting realm, everyone is looking for an edge.
You might not have my name, but you have my blood.
It doesn't matter if you are up or down.
Lannister always pays his debts.
Success is not measured by effort, only by results.
And I will take what is mine with fire and blood.
Who you back and when you do it is crucial.
Everyone who isn't us is an enemy.
Knowledge is your greatest asset.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard are here to guide you on your quest.
Winter is coming.
This is Fire and Ice.
Who's hot? Who's cold in the NFL? Great job as always by the fellas behind the glass here. Get a kick out of that every single time we play it.
When your face is on the Night King, another funny one.
That's pretty good, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yep. Well, there's nobody really hotter than the MVP favorite right now. Patrick Mahomes in his last four games, 65% completion percentage, more than 1,400 yards passing. That's 356.5 yards passing per game. 10 touchdowns, does have 3 INTs. He is listed right now at $160 to win the MVP, and rightfully so. I mean, there are...
Too short, though.
What do you make him, 250?
Yeah, because it's Mahomes. We know he's going to play well. They're likely to get the one seed.
Well, the stat on him in November, December...
Never lost.
He hasn't lost. What is it?
Yeah. I'll get that while you mentioned it, but I'll get that in a second. But I know, it's like, if they get the one seed, to me, shut it down, right? Because at that point, what would Tua and Hurts have to do?
Well, what if the Eagles go 15-2?
Yeah, but they still have there's a lot of talent around them. And they use Brown and they use the running game, right? Mahomes, it was supposed to be, oh, you lost Hill. Okay, now what? He's had guys out.
He will have that narrative big time. Now, this is the first time ever this year, keep this in mind, for the MVP voting, they're going to go top five. So voters have to go 1 through 5 before. Every other year, it's been just one guy who wins, and it's going to be the winner. So somebody with like second place votes, if they get enough of those and can steal a couple of first place votes, they could be live. But yeah, as long as he stays healthy and continues his pace right now, I mean, he's going to eventually could turn into a $10 favorite.
Yeah.
I would only say that two other guys are actually in contention right now, and it's Hurts and Tua, and that's it.
Yes.
Burrow, no. Allen, no. And then after that, it turns into 50, 60, 80 to one shot. So, yeah, he's the guy.
I thought I saw 29-0. Now I can't find it, but it's ridiculous. The November.
No, it's around there. It's like 26-27-0.
Yeah, the November-December record.
Yeah.
Yep.
More guys now. Fire and ice as we continue here and follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. How about this? Josh Jacobs, last 4 weeks, 483 rushing yards, more than 5 yards per carry. It's 121 yards rushing per game. He also has chipped in with 173 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns overall. The rushing yards leader prop right now is +150.
Great race.
He's up by 111 yards over Derrick Henry. What was Jacobs before the year started? 22, 25, 30 to 1?
Yeah, you could throw any number at me. I'd go along with it. I mean, this is what a great run he's been on. And figures to play Sunday, but maybe compromised. But how he's opened this up now after his great performance against Seattle, it's a hell of a race. And you thought Barkley had a shot. Now Barkley's had a couple stinkers, which we'll get to coming up. But who's not, you can't count out Chubb. Henry's right there. Fantastic race. And I know Barkley's slipping, but if he has a 170-yard game, he's right in the mix too.
Yeah. Do you think Josh Jacobs should be on the board to win Offensive Player of the Year? Or is that not happening because the Raiders are 4-7? They've been a disappointment. Could he actually have overall numbers that would suggest? Because I'm looking at the DraftKings board right now. They don't even have it listed.
Huh.
They have players like Jalen Waddle. They have his teammate Davante Adams at 130-1. Maybe he has no shot, but I would also submit that he should probably be on the board. And
remember how we started the season? They were playing him in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
They're like,
they
don't want this guy back.
We're not going to pick up his fifth-year option.
Yeah, I know.
So get out there in this hot August night and go give us 39 snaps.
Uh-huh, right.
That was strange to everybody.
Great race.
229 last week.
Yeah. Feed him, right? But we can't go for it 4th and inches, though.
No, God forbid.
Ridiculous.
We need to try it out there, 56-yard attempt. This is, by the way, another example of a contract year then. He's got to play for the next contract, or they're not going to pick it up. It's like Aaron Judge last year.
Yep. Same thing with receiving yards, too. Great race, as we talked about, mentioning Diggs earlier. But Hill, Jefferson, Diggs, and Adams. Here comes Adams now. 1,000 yards. Last 4 weeks, 487 yards. 5 touchdowns. And he's 16-1 to lead the league in receiving yards. But that's, the early... It was Carr looking at him too much early on, and then they couldn't get him involved for a couple weeks, but big-time fire for Adams and what he's done.
Could he make up that much ground in 6 games?
Well, he's a home run hitter.
Yeah, he's 234 yards behind Tyreek Hill. Oh, that's the thing.
The Dolphins, they mix it up. I mean, he gets Waddle involved too, so that would be... I could see him having a couple 180s.
Oh, I could see Adams go back-to-back games where it's, 10 for 183 and then, 9 for 162. And look at that, all of a sudden, that ground has been made up.
Yep. Good race, though. The other one, this is incredible. Jamal Williams, last 4 weeks, 270 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. To have the most rushing touchdowns, he's 3-1. He was 300-1 before the season at some books.
Damn.
And you just thought it was going to be all Swift, and then he got hurt. And then how well Williams has played here. And they've been solid all year, other than the Patriot game, on offense. But 13 touchdowns for Williams, Chubb one behind him. And you got Henry sitting there at 10.
I wonder how many tickets were written on him at 300-1. Because,
who would bet that?
Well, people remember...
other than a Lions fan.
There was one book that took, every single bet right away was on Stevenson at 500-1. And you're like, well, that might make... Yeah. Because I think there were rumblings of Damian Harris maybe getting dealt.
Yes.
And if he takes off as a lead back, that could absolutely happen. The thought was here, Swift is such a great weapon that they're going to use both guys, but near the goal line, as we've seen now for plenty of time here, that it's going to be Williams and more Williams down near the, and inside the 5-yard line. But
yep.
Kenneth Walker has 9, and Kenneth Walker really did not even get going until I think it was the 4th game, because that was a lot of Penny, and then Penny got hurt. And I think it was midway through the 4th game this year where Walker, it's been everything since then. So just think if he would have been the lead guy.
That is a great race too now all of a sudden. And our Pierce tickets are in trouble.
Yeah, they are.
But you have Olave and you have Watson now right there behind Walker. And Watson, how about this? Watson has more touchdowns this season than Jefferson, Hill, Metcalf, Evans, Lamb, Higgins, and St. Brown, what he's done. And he just recently, last three games, 12 receptions, 265, six touchdowns. Now 7-1.
That's nuts.
To win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Yes, it is.
All of those touchdowns, like, yeah, think about that for a second. He had zero. Go back to the Cowboys game, and since then, that's when he has caught all six touchdowns on the year here at Circa. They're also in other states, by the way. So check out to see if you have Circa in your state. They have him at 15-1. Would you take a flyer on him at 15?
Yeah.
I actually...
Well, Love came right in and hit him.
I kind of like the idea of the Packers having to go to Love. I think Love would go to this guy. Here's what's unsustainable. You can't have 12 catches and six touchdowns, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's...
Right. Yeah.
But if they throw to him more and he's starting to get 8, 10, 12 targets a game, that could result in 6, 8, 10 catches potentially, and then the touchdown rate could actually maybe be at one a game still. If he closes like Jamar Chase did last year, and right now he's suddenly on that pace...
Well, so can Olave.
Yeah, this guy could steal the award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Olave's coming on, too. Great race.
Olave dropped big time now. He's like, at DraftKings, he's tied with Wilson at 6-1 to be Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Other spots, he's a second shot on the board.
Give me the ice. I don't want the ice. This is tough.
No, I can't handle the ice.
Last 4 weeks, Damian Pierce, 249 yards. No touchdowns. Yards per carry, 4.2. Yards per game, 62. Now 11-1, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he was plus 165 3 weeks ago. Now he's 11-1, and we are sitting on nice prices for him. But that ship has sailed. I don't know. At this point, would they look at a rookie on a 1-win team, even if he picks it up over the final month and a half?
Fair. Yeah. I know that's tough. Lamar Jackson last three games completing 60% of his passes. Three total touchdowns, one interception, MVP odds 60-1. And Barkley, as we mentioned, last 4 weeks, couldn't get going against the Lions. 213 rushing yards, two touchdowns. They're the big one. Comeback player of the year odds have plummeted.
Oh, he was
Geno up to $3 in some spots now.
Yeah, that's the one. I completely disagree with that. Yes, in full disclosure, do I have Saquon Barkley? Absolutely. I have him at 25 and 40-1.
Too high, yeah.
He was minus 250 a couple weeks ago. And I said at that point, I wanted a yes-no because I wanted to bet the no on Barkley because there was so much football. By the way, thank you on Twitter, everybody. After 3 weeks this year, congrats on your Barkley tickets. I wanted to trash my account. I could not believe it. It's like, guys, there's a lot of football left. Knock it off, would you please? But at this point, Geno to be $3, I think this should be closer to a pick 'em right now.
Yep.
Because I think people will look at it and say, Geno Smith is going to come back from what? Stinking? Not playing well? Barkley's coming back from significant injuries?
Yeah, yeah. And the ship, still time. I mean, they haven't played the Eagles yet, but we knew they were Fugazi. But this coach of the year race really heating up. Dable, Salah, O'Connell, McDaniel. But Dable now has plummeted 22-1 with the losing streak.
If I gave you a limit bet right now and any coach to win this award, who would you put it on?
I still go Sirianni. Because I think they get to 15, 14 wins. And I think there's losses coming for the Vikings. And there's losses coming for the Dolphins.
I think Salah might be the guy.
10-7, going to get it done. 9-8.
Up next, Georgia coach Kirby Smart was asked his goal for how many points he wants to score every week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world. until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
VSiN Cyber Monday deal extended. Sign up today, become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get a daily recap of the top plays, every host, every guest, the deep dive daily betting reports, the upcoming College Bowl Guide and Super Bowl Guide. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. Shop for hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. It won't last long. Perfect sports betting holiday gift. VSiN.com/subscribe.
We'll continue talking college football here. Rocky Boyman, kind enough to join us here for a few minutes early on a Thursday morning. Rocky is a college football color analyst for ESPN, and he hosts the Eddie and Rocky Show from 3 to 6, 6 p.m. Eastern on 700 WLW in Cincinnati. Rocky, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Fellas, good morning. It's a cold day here in Cincinnati, probably much warmer where you guys are.
What do you have for temperature? It surprisingly gets down into the low 40s here.
Oh, God, yeah, we're in the 20s, yeah, so in the morning. But the sun's out, so, I mean, look, this is winter in Cincinnati. It's what you get.
Yeah,
no worries.
Have you had to shovel, break out the snowblower, or have somebody come over to do your driveway yet?
No, but damn it, you just jinxed it. So now I'm going to expect snow's going to be coming. So thank you very much.
I owe you one. My bad. I'm from the Midwest. I got out of there for a reason. Let's begin with the game out here in Las Vegas on Friday night. It's a fascinating matchup, the rematch here between USC and Utah. Down to the wire the first time they played in Salt Lake. Came down to that two-point conversion. And USC, that's their only loss of the year. Caleb Williams, now a heavy favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. So who do you trust more in this rematch, Rocky? Would it be Caleb, Lincoln Riley, and the way this offense is humming, or do you look at Kyle Whittingham and the experience here that he has nearly his 20 years as a great head coach at Utah?
Look, I think often, you know, having been around football my whole life, but when it comes down to the end of the year and playoff time and all that, I always think it comes down to who's hot, right? And right now, I don't know if there's a hotter combination in football right now than Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams. I mean, Caleb Williams is playing at a phenomenal level. He sliced and diced my Notre Dame Irish last weekend, and really, really looks good. Confident player. I mean, he's just such a fun guy to watch. You know, I think, you know, in the course of a game, so many things break down, right? Coaches, you plan for this, you plan for that, and all this time and energy goes into all this strategy. And at the end of the day, things just screw up, right, during the course of a game. And Caleb Williams is a guy that when things break down, he's never down, never dead, and it can make something happen. So with that being said, I think Caleb Williams and USC is going to do it here.
All right, I hope you're right. If they do so, then they're in. Can they win a playoff game? I mean, can that defense stop anybody? But and the luck factor's been incredible as they lead the nation in turnover margin.
It is, and I was thinking about it this way. I was thinking, okay, George, let's say they win the SEC title game. Who do they want to play? Do they want to play C.J. Stroud in Ohio State right now, or do they want to play Caleb Williams in USC? I don't know. I think consistently over the year, Ohio State's the more powerful team than C.J. Stroud. But, I mean, Stroud had a terrible game in that game against Michigan last week, and Caleb Williams, I think, was the opposite. So,
good question.
Again, kind of coming down to who's hot right now. You, if I'm Georgia, I may want to play Ohio State right now and down a little bit.
I'm sure Bennett be salivating at the Ohio State defense too, after what Michigan did to him as well. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, obviously I live here in Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, Buckeyes are, you know, 2 hours north of me here, and it's weird. Like, the Buckeyes, you hate to say it, they look like a finesse team lately, right? Like, especially against Michigan. The whole year they've not been able to just pound the rock the way we're used to seeing, you know, five, 6 years ago the way they used to do. And I don't know, they come on that Michigan game, and it's, you know, it's a bubble screen to the right, bubble screen to the left. Like, there's no, like, lining up. Hey, here's where we're running the ball. Stop it. And I think that's something – I know that's a part of their culture, but I'm not seeing it the last couple of years. I know a lot of Ohio State fans are worried about that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the lack of respect all year for TCU?
I think it's real. But if you watch them play like I have, you see that's a good football team. You see that's a really good quarterback. You know, and Sonny Dykes comes in there and, you know, first-year head coach and flips that program around. I mean, look, you can compare that to what happened at USC. And I was talking about this with somebody the other day is, you know, there's debates about the transfer portal and is it good, is it bad, and you can see both sides. But I think from a college football fan perspective, you no longer have to wait for your team to get good again, right? Like USC, it's like, oh, my God, they're going to be terrible. It's going to be a couple years. Boom. Get a new coach. Boom. Transfer portal quarterback, and you're off and running.
Yep.
Same thing with TCU, right? New coach, you know, they get some guys in the portal and things like that, and things just turn around very, very quickly. So I think that's one of the benefits, and TCU is certainly playing at a high level. I think guys, even if they would happen to lose that Big 12 title game, I think they're still in my opinion.
Totally agree.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm glad you said that. Absolutely. Do you think they win, though? They were down 18 in that first meeting, and then the injuries happened.
Yeah, and I seen Kansas State early in the year. We called K-State mm-hmm. Iowa State, and they're a really good football team. They got some weapons, and you know, Deuce Vaughn and all that. So I think they can. That's one of the more interesting games. I can't really put my finger on that one, but that'll be a fun one to watch.
All right, a lot going on. You have a lot to talk about: Skyline Chili, the Ohio State performance, and then the Fickle news. What are they thinking? I mean, he was a great coach, and he probably. Well, he's a Notre Dame coach. If they don't make the playoff last year, what do they think of Fickle going to Wisconsin, and who can replace Fickle?
Yeah, guys, very interesting. You know, the dynamic going on here, and yes, it was kind of. You know, I was landing. I was coming back from Washington State. You know, landing, and we land in Minneapolis, and boom, here's the news that Luke Fickle, the beloved Bearcats coach, is going to Wisconsin. Kind of caught everyone by surprise. Here's the difference, and you mentioned last year turning down the Notre Dame job. And from all accounts, everything I've heard, that he was very, very, very strongly considered for that. He chose to stay at UC. They're going to playoff and all that. I think the biggest difference is what happened this past offseason. And that's USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. Okay, that kind of changed the whole landscape of college football, where it's going to wind up being the haves and the have-nots. And if you're not in the Big Ten, you're not in the SEC, it's going to be hard to compete, okay? And mm-hmm. I think Luke Fickle saw that. I think that was a major part of his decision. It wasn't the money. He's got a family man, loves Cincinnati, got like 6 or 7 kids. It wasn't a money-driven decision per se, although he would have paid about $2.5 million. It was more of knowing where's college football going. And if you see it going to this kind of, you know, 20-team SEC, 20-team Big Ten thing, those are going to be the two conferences that really matter, and I think that was a major driver in his decision. And obviously, the amount of money that Wisconsin has with NIL and all that, I think that trumped the fact that UC is going to go to the Big 12. I think UC is going to the Big 12, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the major conferences are going to be the SEC and the Big 10 moving forward. That was a big driver in what he did.
Okay, you can yell at me here. Is Deion Sanders an option?
Yeah, you sound like every fan in Cincinnati right now. Yeah. No, I don't think he's an option. I think he's a great coach. And, uh-huh. I mean, it's funny. I said this on my show yesterday. I mean, 3 years ago, if you threw out there, hey, I think Deion would be a great coach of Cincinnati or, frankly, any other team, you would have been laughed off the radio. But with what he's done,
yeah,
and the culture he's built and all that, and how he recruits, which is the mother's milk of college football.
Right.
You know, it's a realistic thing. I don't think it's realistic here in Cincinnati. John Cunningham, the AD, is more a little more of a conservative approach kind of guy. So I think it would be awesome. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't.
Okay.
Rocky, 90 seconds here. As somebody who played this sport, and now you're an analyst for college football as well, on a local and national level, do you like the idea of a 12-team playoff?
I do, because I think you need to get more fan bases involved.
There you
right?
go. Yes. Yep.
You know, it's just you got to go coast to coast. You got to go north to south. And this is a way entertainment, there's so many things that can garner our entertainment now, right? There's social media. There's Netflix. There's this and that. You got to create must-see events, must-see television. And a way to do that is you got to find a way to get more fan bases, more parts of the country involved. And these big-time football games garner a lot of attention. So if you can find a way to, you know, with more teams, you'll get some Pac-12 teams in there. You'll get some Big 12 teams in there. You'll be able to get more areas of the country that'll tune in. 5 years ago, I was not against playoff expansion, but for the reasons I just described, I'm very much for it, and I think it's going to be a good thing.
That is an awesome answer. You can follow Rocky on Twitter. He is at Rocky Boyman, Boyman 50, and listen to him in Cincinnati, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on 700 WLW, the Eddie and Rocky Show. Great spot today, Rocky. Thanks for the time. We appreciate that.
If it snows, I'm going to call and cuss you out there, all right?
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, you have my permission. Go ahead. You can wake me up.
Guys, thanks very much. See ya.
All right, pal. Be good.
Keep in touch with him. Yeah. I want a weather update there, too. He'll come after
He's going to be cursing our names.
Well, it's getting Skyline Chili. I mean, he loves it. He makes a drive twice a week.
Still have never had it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You can order it.
Well, he made a great point. College football has been broken for a long time. Why do we say everyone's invited and has a chance in college basketball?
Right.
But in college football, it's like, nah. Four's good. What?
The back end there is the first time I've heard somebody say that. With the attention spans now that we have in this country, I'll raise my hand. It's Netflix. It's social media. It's bam. It's 30 seconds, and that's instant gratification. You got to captivate interest as much as possible. This will do that in college football.
Yeah.
We'll discuss today's World Cup odds, trends, props, scenarios, all that great stuff coming up here on Follow the Money.
The money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Make game day more chill with some extra cash. Play free during the college football season with the Coors Light College Football Pick'em. Join 15 free-to-play pools for your shot at $5,000 in weekly prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/CoorsLightPick'em to join the action. Coors Light, perfect shot of refreshment. James Hetfield loves it. 21 and over only. Please drink responsibly. DraftKings.com for details.
Here we go. Mike Pritchard joins the program now. We'll begin this hour talking some National Football League. Pritch played in the league for 9 years, and he's currently a VSiN host. What's up, dude?
What's happening?
How
morning,
are you,
fellas?
Good.
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Ooh, doing well. Great.
Doing well, yeah.
Yes.
Ooh,
good for I know. You. Early. I'm great early. Love it.
If I had the capability right now of, I know you've been asked this a lot this week, but we have to address it with you right now. You played at Colorado, won a national title there. You told the story here in VSiN this week that Deion Sanders showed you around Atlanta. My God, I need to have a drink with you sometime to get that story.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
If I could make a bet right now on the next Colorado head coach, should I make that bet on Deion Sanders?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, look at my jerseys that I got hanging up by me. I'm trying to connect the dots for you right there, Mitch. I got my Too Legit to Quit Atlanta Falcons jersey.
Sure.
And then I got the Colorado jersey there too. So I'm throwing it out there in the universe right now. I'm putting it out there for Deion and everybody that he needs to be the next head coach out there in Boulder, Colorado. From a betting standpoint, I mean, the attention is not new to Deion. He said that, and everybody kind of knows that about him. He's going to make a thoughtful decision. I think the most attractive offer for him is the Pac-12, and it is Colorado. Lincoln Riley is leaving the Pac-12. They're going to the Big Ten with SC. Primetime would be the name within one of the premier conferences in the national, in not in the National Football League, in the NCAA. I almost said National Football League. It almost feels like it. But that's prime time right there, right? To be the focal point of a conference, a Power Five conference, especially with expansion. So to me, it aligns that Deion is going to be the next head coach out there in Boulder.
Wow. And we're going to see you doing cartwheels down the strip if that happens.
You might see fireworks. I might rent out half the strip. No, I mean, I will run to Boulder to help show him around if I need to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's never been out there, so we'll see what happens, though. But, it's the countdown is on. I know that much. So we'll find out in a number of days.
I think he would quickly turn that program around. It'd take maybe 2 years, maybe tops, for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he would.
Oh,
I think
it's a dumpster fire.
Oh,
from Aruku, easy, Paulie. Easy, Paulie.
Mike, it's bad. Come on.
Yeah, but he's recruiting guys at the SWAC. He'll bring tons of guys, I think, wherever he goes. Doesn't matter the program. He'll bring guys with him no matter what.
I think the influence, the clout, there's some five-star athletes in Colorado right now, in Denver, that I think he could sway them. You think about the Pac-12, too, though. Southern California and the footprint that the Pac-12 could have. And then you spread that out throughout the country. I mean, absolutely. The profile of Deion Sanders fits very, very well, not only with CU, but certainly the conference as well.
Okay. You need to explain this to us. I can't wait to hear the logic behind it. You told me in a text message last night that the Chiefs reinvented themselves because of a certain defense in the AFC. Tell us which defense that is.
That was the Bengals defense. I mean, I think a lot of people go back to the playoff game in which Patrick Mahomes just looked different. In that game, Patrick Mahomes, the greatest weapon to use against him is his fact that he's not a patient quarterback. And Cincinnati forced him to be a patient quarterback, and he didn't want to. He threw balls that he should not have. He tried to make things happen when it wasn't there, and it, all because of the soft coverage schemes and certainly the different looks that Cincinnati presented to Kansas City. So Kansas City could no longer be this air raid style of offense. They needed to matriculate, and they have done that. They have reinvented themselves to a high level. They're a dink and dunk type of team, not a very explosive passing offense. At times they can be with Kelce, but just not that vertical threat as we are accustomed to with Tyreek Hill. So looking at this game, guys, if Patrick Mahomes has more control at the line of scrimmage and understands and reads those defenses from Bell and Bates and all the adjustments that the secondary will make, and dropping 8 in coverage, dropping 7 in coverage, playing 2-man, playing 1-man, if Patrick could have more control at the line of scrimmage, I think we get a shootout. I think Cincinnati offensively is playing very, very well, and that's going to be tough for the Chiefs to stop. But the shootout all depends on Patrick Mahomes and how much room and latitude Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy is going to give him at the line of scrimmage, because you have to check. You have to get Cincinnati uncomfortable, because what they're doing with their checks and with their calls out there on the field, they're locked into the concepts and they're certainly locked into the personnel that you have on the field as well.
Very good. I cannot wait for this Miami-San Francisco game. What do you think of here with the Shanahan against McDaniel? And McDaniel being the former coordinator there, and then how Miami is so good in the first half on offense, and San Francisco's unbelievable second half defensively.
Yeah, Miami, Paulie, was scoring about 22 points a game in the first half the last few weeks here, and that leads the National Football League. They get off to a fast start. They get off to those scripted plays, and they know exactly what they're doing. The offense for Miami has been operating at a different level, and it's hard to gauge. It has been for me all year long. But they are down a couple of tackles. We'll see about the right tackle. I know left tackle situation could be dicey for them, and certainly the matchup with Bosa. But they have to get off to a fast start. I look at the scripted nature of this football game, and both teams will be scripted the first 15 if you look at the start of the ball game. If Miami can get into a rhythm early on, they're going to be difficult to stop, I think, the entire game. I know the weather could play something into this as well, with the rainy conditions and slick field. But both teams will scheme very, very well. The 49ers are banged up, too. I think two of their 7 wins are against teams with winning records, right? And so you got to take a look at that, right? I know everybody's on the bandwagon. I'm kind of on the bandwagon with the 49ers, too, because I think they have a really good roster. But from an execution standpoint, it just hasn't been at that high octane level like we've seen with Miami.
I did not like the Jeff Wilson trade.
Yeah.
Got rid of him, got a 5th round pick in return. I know that Elijah Mitchell came back, but he's hurt again, and now the McCaffrey knee irritation. Right. I'd like to sit here and tell you, well, they can run more Deebo Samuel. He can't stay healthy.
Right.
So it was, I thought it was looking great a couple of weeks ago, and then they made that trade at deadline. I'm like, well, you didn't have to do that. That was unnecessary.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. I think so. I mean, you're trying to make appease people, Mitch, in the room, you know, and so everybody's not going to touch the rock, right? And I think the irritation for McCaffrey, there's a nice shot in there called Toradol. That'll help that. Because that's just swelling, right? That's swelling. He might have to get it drained. We'll see what happens, but he'll be able to go. But how, to what level though? I mean, that's, for me as a bettor, to me, it's like, at what level are these guys going to play at? Yes, they're going to be able to go, but are they going to be able to go at the level that they need to be able to play at? And that's always is a tricky situation when you're betting these games.
I would imagine you get a ticked off Baltimore team Sunday. Every Denver game has stayed under but one. Half the team went to Russell Wilson's birthday party. What do you expect out of the Broncos not only this week but the rest of the season?
You know what? The rest of the season I'm not sure about. But this week, it kind of aligns that this team could be mad at everybody else. And let's prove everybody else kind of wrong kind of situation. Now, it's one thing to say that, and it's another thing to do it, right? I mean, I think for the Broncos standpoint, their biggest problem are themselves. And they just can't get right. They can't get on the same page. They can't execute for 60 minutes. Their offensive line is in shambles, too. But, you know, the Ravens, they're not as polished as you would like them to be as we head into December here. And that thigh situation with Lamar Jackson, who is a very athletic player, as we know, whether it's a strain or a bruise, those can be difficult. And I know he left practice. He had treatment. That implies to me that it's significant if you're going to leave practice and get treatment right away. So I think there's some wild cards in this game. You know, depending on where you like and what number you like, you know, teasers are always in play. By the way, home dog teams that are getting better in terms of teasers, Bengals, the Lions, and then certainly the Raiders. I mean, those three teams right there, as we get into December, guys, are getting better. They're improving on the year.
Yeah, Pritch, I've been saying this since, you know, Sunday night, Monday morning here on the show. I'm surprised the Raiders aren't favored against the Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point, Mitch. I mean, Chandler Jones is starting to play better. And it's the only team in the National Football League with two all-pro bookends on the defensive front. And Max Crosby's just an animal, right? And I think they simplified some things defensively for everybody else to play faster. And now offensively, it's as good as it gets with Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams. I mean, very balanced offensively if you look at their Las Vegas Raiders. I think that could be difficult for the Chargers. But I just like the home dog situations with teams improving as we enter the month of December.
Sure, always a good angle. Thanks, pal. We appreciate the time. Best of luck this week.
Hey, thank you, guys. Good luck to you as well.
Yep, there you
Thanks,
go.
Thanks, Mike.
We gotta get that story of Primetime taking him out in Atlanta.
And if Primetime gets the job, Mike, just celebrate with a cabana here. Do that and put us on the invite list. That would be some story. Showing him around Atlanta. I like his stories about San Francisco. Good stories there.
They're very good. Pro tip, we'll move along. Pro tip of the hour here from Brad Powers. Bet as early as possible when bowl lines come out.
Yes.
Lines can move more than a touchdown in 2 to 3 weeks before the game.
Who's interested? Who isn't? Who's going to sit? I mean, you can tell, too. You can tell about who's excited and who's
no
like,
doubt.
Oh, I don't want any part of this.
Uh-huh.
Expectations and, yep.
It's always a fun ride watching those lines move and getting down, you know, when you can, when the first numbers pop on the board for bowl week. Up next, we'll recap the betting action from last night and win some, lose some. Yesterday produced some all-time drama at the World Cup. Details coming up on Follow the Money.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf-Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.